I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Support comes from Grady Health Foundation, presenting Move for Grady Saturday, April 27th, featuring a family-friendly bike ride through Atlanta's in-town neighborhoods. There's a ride, run, or walk distance for everyone, benefiting Grady Health System. More at moveforgrady.com.
7:21 is the time, and that means it's time for Political Breakfast, a live edition on WABE, our first of the new year. Lots of political news continued to churn over the holidays, like the story about that newspaper ad taken out by two Atlanta City Council members, Marcy Collier Overstreet and Andrea Boone, calling out Council President Doug Shipman for not appointing African-American females to key committee positions. Here's Andrea Boone.
We could have done it differently. But we thought that this issue on behalf of women's rights and human rights was so important that it needed to be something that would get attention.
Just hours before the council's meeting Tuesday, Shipman reappointed Overstreet, chair of a committee she previously led. Here to discuss the optics of this is resident Republican strategist Brian Robinson and executive director of the Atlanta Civic Circle, Saba Long. Theron Johnson is in Washington waiting for the House congressional swearing-in ceremonies to take place. Happy New Year to both of you and welcome.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Saba, go Dogs.
Yeah, go Dogs. I actually thought of you after that big win. What a fourth quarter that was. Saba, let's get right to it. Let's begin with you. What were your thoughts when you saw this ad taken out by these two councilwomen?
Well, first, Lisa, let me say Happy New Year. Great to be on the show. And given what's going on in Washington, Theron might be there for a few weeks.
Hope he packed enough clothes, right?
But, you know, my first government job was actually as a policy and comms aide for a city council member. So I've seen firsthand kind of the machinations and what it takes to get on the committees you want and to get the committee chairmanship that you might want. So I was surprised first that this escalated to the point of a paid ad. You know, what was interesting is on the 31st, so December 31st, what looked like an AJC op-ed started circulating, people were getting it via text. And I remember being surprised because I pitched a number of op-eds to the AJC, and Brian, I'm sure you have as well, and you never get a snapshot of what the op-ed looks like. Mm. So the first thing to point out is that someone appeared, my guess is that they mocked this up to give it a sense of validity beyond being a paid ad. So that's the first thing that was interesting. But the other is, you know, the moral of the story, I think, on this is that ignore Black women at your peril. Mm. Two Black women came to the city council with a mandate, and they both very clearly and forcefully said, here's what we want. Now, I know Council President Shipman, I've seen him. I can't imagine that this was an intentional, you know, I'm trying to slight these right. two women. I don't get that from him, just kind of given his background, kind of how he moves. And I think it's worth noting that in 2022, his first year as a council president, he actually appointed both women to chair positions, which I believe was their first time being chair. And again, they were first elected under a council president who was a Black woman. And so it's interesting that he came in and gave them both chairmanship opportunities. Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, I was going to say, Brian, you're the communications expert. What does this look like? Does it look like a huge misunderstanding, or does it signal to you that there are some real communication issues, especially since Shipman said that the pair did not say anything to him before taking out that ad?
Yeah, that's not the best way to go about this as far as long-term relationship building within the council. And I don't know these players involved, but I do find it hard to believe that a city council president who got into that position by building a multiracial coalition, there's no other way to get into citywide office in Atlanta. is really being motivated by unconscious bias. What my problem with this underlying issue is immediately racializing it and making it a gender issue. I don't think that's what it is at all. I feel like the president was attacked, and I feel like he responded to those attacks very rationally, very calmly, and laid out his reasons for doing so. This is something that needs to be worked out behind closed doors, not in the newspaper. It should be news after everything goes awry, after you make every big effort, then you go that route.
So in your opinion, too much too soon. Quickly moving on, we only have a few minutes here, as you know. Another big story in recent days, the transcript of Republican Chair Bill Schaefer's testimony before the House panel that investigated the insurrection. His testimony centered on what was happening in Georgia after President Biden's win and all these meetings to organize fake electors. He basically says he thought all the movement was designed to protect Trump's legal rights in Georgia and not any attempt to overturn the presidential election results. Now, Saba, you know, I know he had to take an oath, but does any of that ring true to you?
I think a lot of folks are backtracking on what they originally said, and that's the same with Schaefer. You know, I think they did not anticipate the level of backlash, just how bad January 6th was going to be. And I think Schaefer and a lot of other Republicans, including some I've talked to who were in the room when it happened, who've said, oh, I didn't realize it was what it was. And I think a lot of people look at that and say, I don't believe you.
Brian, yeah, look, what's your takeaway?
First of all, let's separate this from January the 6th. These are two separate issues. None of the people who were in that room casting these alternative electoral votes were part of January 6th attacks. What they are saying is we were told by the lawyers of this president that we support and we trust, were telling us that this is a legal maneuver. This was to preserve legal options moving forward. And if those don't work out, then none of this really matters. Well, none of it worked out and none of it mattered. And what did those alternative electors do? They dropped it. Not one of them pursued it, pressed it any further. They did what they were asked to do by the president's legal team, or people representing the president. And when the original plan didn't work, courts did not allow that case to go forward, they stopped. And to me, that backs up everything that they're saying about what they were told, what their motivations were, what their intentions were.
I just want to add that the late Congressman or late Senator Johnny Isaacson, it's odd. You know, just the whole thing. If you think about Georgia politics and if you think about Republican leadership, I think a lot of folks, were just surprised that, Brian, maybe you're saying they were hoodwinked. I don't know, but I tend to believe that these folks are a lot smarter than that.
No, I don't think they were hoodwinked.
That it got to that point.
I don't think they were hoodwinked. I think they were told the courts may overturn the election, and if so, we have to have these electoral votes sitting there. That's what they were told, and the courts didn't do that, and so it was a moot point at the end of the day. I don't think they were hoodwinked. I think they were doing what they were asked to do because they had been given what seemed like a rational explanation at that time. I didn't agree with it. Most of the Republican leadership in the state didn't agree with it. This is not like a Republican movement. This wasn't something that all Republicans were in favor of, but the people who did it weren't revolutionaries.
And Saba, you mentioned the late Johnny Isaacson. He was invited to one of those meetings and he said no because
that was his son.
That was his son.
Johnny was already dead.
But the point is that if you think about the type of Republicans who said this is insane, this doesn't make any sense, there's something to be said for that, right? And so the fact that Schaefer and others just have continued to either double down or now feign, so to speak, ignorance and say, oh, I didn't realize it was going to be what it was, is eyebrow raising. And I think there's something to be said for that, and I hope that perhaps there's going to be some change in the Republican leadership as a result.
Moving on, you know, there's a lot of fatigue over this and you know, the elections that we just had in Georgia. Looking ahead to 2023, the legislature is set to begin work next week. What do you think the biggest news is heading into this? Are we back to the elections? Is it Saba, the elimination of the runoffs and general elections? Are we going to hear more about that and even wearing more on the constituents here in Georgia?
I think every year the session is occurring, there's always going to be some bill about elections, unfortunately. You know, there's a lot of conversation, and I think the Secretary of State has really sparked this around what ranked choice voting could be in Georgia. And so I'm curious to see what the conversation about that will look like in the session. But this is going to be a very packed session. I mean, Brian, you're down there far more than I am, but I think there's going to be a lot happening in those days and nights that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks.
Brian, what else should take center stage? Do you think this should, in addition to things like education, healthcare, affordable housing?
I think that Georgians have had enough fireworks. I think they're ready for some low-key, responsible legislating. And I think that's what we're going to get. We have new leadership in the House and Senate, pretty much top to bottom. That's going to make Brian Kemp's political capital that much bigger because there's going to be so much new blood, people getting their feet under them. Let's look at sports gaming. That's going to be a huge issue. Going to what Saba said, instant runoffs. We can vote. Just last night, the late Speaker David Ralston's widow went to a runoff for that state House seat. Utterly a huge waste of money for the taxpayers up there in North Georgia to pay for a runoff for a state House seat. So I think that's going to be taken seriously. As far as education, we'd like to see some parent empowerment bills that give parents some more choice on where their kids go to school. And the governor's already told us that we're going to be seeing some more tax relief plans, even as the gas tax took effect again on January the 1st. We're going to be getting some rebates and tax cuts.
Brian Robinson is a Republican strategist, communications consultant, and former deputy chief of staff for Governor Nathan Deal. Saba Long is the executive director of the Atlanta Civic Circle. Thank you both for joining us live and waking up this morning. We'll see you soon.
Happy New Year.
Take care. Be safe out there.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now Plugged In, a WAB politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WAB politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WAB.org or your favorite podcast platform.